This is the national public broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, American Society of Muslim Leaders.
I studied myth soon. This is, you know, we say, oh, ridiculous. Oh, those people were played with. The story of the origin of all people most likely is in myth. The Romans, the story of their beginning is in two boys, two brothers, who were lost from their parents, and a wolf found these two babies, and the wolf nursed these two babies, Remus and Romulus, the two babies. And the Romans say their whole race came from those two babies. That's how their race began, from Remus and Romulus. And one was unfit for the future, and one was. So one was lost, Remus was lost. I guess that's why they called us Uncle Remus. You remember that, brothers? Yeah. Remus was lost, but Romulus, he succeeded. He survived and became a great leader and founder of Rome, the Roman people. This is myth of the beginning of the Roman people. It's not true, it's lies. No wolf found two boys and nursed them. That never happened. But if you don't know your beginning, you can put something together that's nice, and you read it, it's okay. And once you make it, you don't have to be pointing to the myth that much. So now we have come to a time when America has opened up to all of us. We can have a future here. We can have a great future here in this country with all the rest of the Americans, regardless of race and color or even religion. If we are intelligent Muslims, we can have a great future in this country. So we should now look back at the myth that we were given of our beginning, of our origin, and know that if we don't need it anymore, the situation doesn't call for it, and we are not dependent on lies anymore for self-respect and for a good picture of ourselves or for self-esteem. We can go right directly to the truth, and we are getting an opportunity to become better and better educated, so we can go forward with a good condition and not have to depend upon myths or untruths to hold up our ego. to give a boost to our ego. I'm going to conclude this very soon, but before I have to mention some things that are troublesome, I'm going to go to language that confuses the picture of Islam. That is a problem for the picture, true picture of Islam and Muslims. But in closing out this part of it, the history of Muslims in America must include the Ahmadiyyas. They are not recognized in Saudi Arabia. In fact, the Ahmadiyyas and the Moorish Americans was another movement of black people. Their leader's name was Noble Drew Ali. And we are told in the reports on him that he had a Christian name too, like my father. My father's name was Elijah Poole, and his name changed to Elijah Muhammad. And Drew Ali's name had a Christian name also, but he changed his name to Drew Ali, and they called him Noble Drew Ali, like we called my father Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Moorish American Muslims, their purpose was to preach Islam to African Americans, to give them a sense of connection with an Islamic past, with the Moors of Africa. And they pointed to Morocco as a place that we once identified with, Morocco. We have also the Nation of Islam, as I said, was formed or conceived by Mr. Farrar. So these groups all were in African American neighborhood, all were in the black community. Ahmadis, Moorish Science Temple, or the Moorish Americans, as they also called, and the Temple of Islam, or the Lost Found Nation of Islam. all in the black community. And out these groups all had unpopular idea of Islam. The African-American Ahmadiyyas, the Moorish American Science Temple, and also the Temple of Islam, or the Nation of Islam, that's headed by Minister Farrakhan right now, all had an unpopular idea of Islam. And recently I read a publication by a man that I know very well. He's a friend of mine. He's a man I admire a lot. He's a professor and a teacher. He's a very educated Muslim, great helper to the cause of Islam in America. His name is Ahmed Sakaf of California now. He lives in California now. Recently, he put out a publication where he listed these unpopular groups, and he called them all pseudo-Islamic groups. He didn't actually reject them, but he made it clear that these groups form not as true Islamic movements or true Islamic groups, but as pseudo-Islamic groups. Now, I want to come to some of these troubling terms, like jihad. We hear jihad, we all hear this jihad, and they see jihad, the popular meaning of jihad in the public now, for the public, is holy war. In the media has passed that on to the public, that jihad means holy war. Jihad comes from a word which means simply to struggle. And in Islam, with our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it means to struggle against all that God forbids, to struggle against whatever is forbidden by God, the temptation, the struggle against. And the first struggle, and the best of the struggles, is the struggle to keep the things that God forbids out of your own life, out of your own personal life. So the struggle with your own soul to keep these corruptions and keep these things that God wants us to stay away from out of your own soul, that's the great jihad. That's the first jihad, and that's the greatest jihad. But also, the Word of God, our holy book, gives the Prophet and us permission to fight those who persecute us and who take our lands or drive us out of our homes. I'm using the words of God. It's not my words I'm using. That you are permitted to fight those who persecute your religion, persecute you because of your religion, and who drive you out of your homes, take your land. You're permitted to fight them. So we do have also the physical jihad in war against those who want to deny us our religious freedom or take our homes and our land from us. It says struggle in the path of God with your possessions and your own soul, with your very souls. Struggle in the path of God. And those who would not go out and fight those who were persecuting them because of their religion, and who was trying to take their homes and their land for them, if they would not go out to fight, they were pointed out as a poor class of Muslims. They are not equal, those who stay at home while others go out and fight, are not equal with those who go out with their possessions, whether rich or poor, and with their own lives, and they go out to fight the persecutors of their faith and those who deny them the freedom to practice their religion. So this is something that Americans should know, that jihad firstly means the struggle in your own soul to keep your own soul presentable before God. That's the most important struggle. But just like Christians will not allow their religion to be persecuted, and them to be denied the free practice of their religion, the same right is for Muslims and is given to us in our holy book. And just as Christians would not like an invader to come in, take your homes, take your land, and you will fight those invaders, we will fight with you. If anyone invades America, I will fight. They may be against just white people, but if they come and fight, attack America, I will ask all my supporters to fight them, even though they say you blacks are not our enemies, we just come to fight white Americans. We would then see them as our enemies, and we will fight with you white folks against them. And you don't have to believe this, but I'm telling you this. This is the truth from my heart to you. Not only that, my religion has made me this way. If there's an attack upon churches and the law is not doing too well, maybe the state or the government may say, we need to have an army. I will be right with the first of those to say to my people who support me, join the army and defend those churches. Muhammad the Prophet, our leader, he did that in his day and time. He guaranteed churches protection, not only churches, but other holy sacred places of worship. He guaranteed them protection under Islamic law, under Islamic state. He guaranteed them protection. He mandated before he died, he mandated that the Jews who practice their religion are to continue to practice their religion as they did before. Require no change in the way they practice their religion. So Islam did not come to persecute the church or to persecute the synagogue. Islam came to fight for the freedom of religion, for all good people, for all civilized and good people. This is Islam. And I want to conclude on that note. And thank you very much for inviting me here.
This would be an opportunity for those who need to leave to do so quietly. And those who would like to ask questions, the microphone here and a microphone here, if you'd come forward, we'll call on those who'd like to ask questions. And we will ask you to ask questions, and we will have answers for you. We'll take about 2 minutes before we start.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. You are putting me on the spot, but I have to respond because I have many rabbis, Jewish friends. I've been in the home of a rabbi and his family, a guest of a rabbi and his family in Israel. When I visit Israel, I do have friends, and they are not comfortable with my statements on Israel. I am not comfortable at all with my statements on what's going on, the occupation of Palestine by Israeli military. Yes, my opinion is, firstly, for the Palestinian people, they should not use violence to achieve their ends that they hope for. It's not, to me, practical. Doesn't make sense. They can never be successful that way. They should do it the way Martin Luther King did it in America. He did it with nonviolence, and I support Reverend Jesse Jackson, the appeal he made. I support him and his appeal to Arafat to use peaceful means, nonviolence, protests, and not to continue to depend on armed forces to achieve something in that situation that they're in the Middle East. I believe I've been to Israel. I've been the guest of Arafat and the Palestinian quarters. I've had a chance to meet civilians, and I believe that if a vote was taken permitting all citizens of Israel to vote, and the vote was fair, clean, and fair, I believe that most of the citizens of Israel would vote that the war be stopped, the occupation be stopped, and the Palestinians be given, at least the process be started, to give the Palestinians a state of their own. And that would be the only justice and the only sane way, in my opinion, for Israel and the Palestinians to take, the only sane way for them to go. I can't say more, but I will say this. I'm an American. I'm not only a Muslim, but I'm an American. And whether we admit it or not, some of you are still bitter American, black Americans. Some black are still bitter. They still think the white man can't be trusted, you know. I don't care how you feel about America. You are an American. Your sensitivities have been influenced and developed in this country, and they are different from people of other countries. You meet people with similar, but very few. We have a sensitivity here, and we don't like big bullies beating up on the little guy. We don't like that. And I'm sure President Bush, he's forced by circumstances, pressures that he have no control over, I'm sure, but I'm sure he's not happy seeing powerful Israel and its material might beating up on the little guys and using our weapons made here in the United States by the United States. I'm sure that doesn't make Bush feel so comfortable. So this is an ugly situation, and we can't accept it the way it is. And the thing to me, like, it gets worse and worse, and you're kind of confused now. You can't hardly distinguish who is a terrorist, because the tactics that's being used against Arafat and the Palestinians are certainly terror tactics. They are to make them so afraid that they will accept to not to resist. So they are terror tactics. And I'm still a friend of my Jewish rabbis, and I'm still a friend of Israel, but I'm not a friend of the wrong that they are doing there. I don't befriend that at all. I'm against it.
Thank you so much for raising the issue of Islamic. My question is directed towards Nation of Islam and you joining the path of mainstream Islam. When and what circumstances, how that path separated, and what is the current relationship between Nation of Islam and your British?
Yes. What we are seeing recently, and it's been going on but very, very slowly. What we have seen recently, and I say recently, I'm talking in the last maybe 10 years, what we are seeing is a change taking place for them that took place for us. We are seeing them now becoming more interested in identifying with the whole of humanity. We see an interest in the Nation of Islam and the Farrakhan, an interest in his people to want to present themselves as Muslims and be accepted by all Muslims of the world. And Minister Farrakhan, my friend, I have a personal history with him as his friend, and we differed as to how Islam should be preached in America, but I don't think he ever rejected me as a friend, as his friend. He knew if he came to me with trouble, I would try to help him. And though I didn't approve of the image he was projecting of Islam and Muslims and himself. And the same for me. No matter how hot the language got between us back there, maybe 15 years ago, I knew that he did not want to hurt me physically. I knew that he still had a place in his heart for me. It was a clashing of ideas or a clashing of perception, etc. But we still respected each other and had the heart of friends. So I was just waiting and praying to God and waiting for him to change, and I believe that he would. Cancer has caused him to think more seriously. Facing cancer, and we are not growing any younger, both of us are approaching 70. So I think that his own personal problems that he has, health problems he has, along with pressures of the world now, because these bad things in the news are being responded to by the press, by the American press. So many people now are looking at what is Islam, and you're hearing discussions on television. So he can't say that this idea of Islam that he has is the true Islam. He can't say it so easily anymore, because most of his followers are hearing all these things, and they are hearing them so regularly, it makes them wonder, well, what is this Islam we got? This Islam we got is not the Islam of the world, of the Islamic world. So he's having a lot of difficulty trying to keep his own followers now that have been converted to the old ideas that were un-Islamic in many areas. He's having trouble keeping them. He told me, he said, I believe you made the change too fast. He said, I don't want to leave the following. I want to bring them with me. That's what he told me. And I was asking him about the language in their papers. The Final Call is their weekly paper. And the language is not Islamic. The idea of God is not Islamic. The language is not Islamic. So I asked him about that. He said, well, I leave it there because I think there are still those with us who need that. And I'm using my language now. I think he's trying to wean them off of that or gradually take them away from those teachings. I have faith that he will never revert back to the old picture of the Farrakhan that troubled all of us. I don't think he'll ever revert back to that. So I invited the Nation of Islam and our following to find some area that we can cooperate in. And one is to help the social life and the moral life of our poor communities, and to try to do business so we can bring a better sense of business life to our community, so we can have a role, a real role, in improving the material state of our neighborhoods. So he's thinking about that, and we may have some real cooperation in that area pretty soon. They have to come either to real Islam, or they have to accept that they are not with real Islam. And I don't think they can prosper if they do that. I think their numbers will continue to dwindle. They'll become smaller and smaller.
I just want to pick up on what you comment on the Nation of Islam and your movement. In looking at ambiguous in terms of, you know, Farrakhan's movement away from the traditional teaching of the Mason Dispel. And in looking back over, you know, members of the nation who were, you know, true believers in terms of, you know, the teaching of the nation, and Farrakhan, who appeared to be moving away from some of those traditions. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I would think he has to be very careful how he does this, and it could in fact be dangerous for him in terms of those who, I mean, if you rip someone away from something that they've been nurtured and, you know, cultivated in terms of set of beliefs and become a part of their identity moving off, then when you try, I mean, you can't just rip them away from it. You've got to find a way to move them without creating, you know, real, you know, problems, the earthquakes within the organization and plus the own legitimacy. And I think in terms of Khalid Muhammad, I think in New York,
yes,
in terms of some of the comments he made, he made a suspended him, correct?
Yes.
Which is an example of, you know, of the kind of problems you have trying to maintain an organization and membership and beliefs and commitment, and at the same time moving them away from that to something a little different. And I'm wondering if your estimation is, you know, how impressive do you think Farrakhan is cognizant of and aware of trying to bring that about, increasing the danger to himself?
Yes, he is. I'm convinced that he is aware. And he is aware that it can be dangerous for himself. He's aware that someone could pop up and take many of the following away from him. That can happen. He's prepared for that. He's prepared to accept that. But I think he's a very wise leader. And he's filling the pulse of his people all the time, and I think he's doing a great job. I think he's going to be successful. He cannot keep all of them. No one can get all the people. In fact, my satisfaction comes from my relying upon God and the words of God. God says to Muhammad the prophet, "You have not been given the power to bring anyone to faith. Only God can give them faith." So if we know that and accept that everything is in God's hand, all we should do is be truthful, be sincere, and do our best, and God will do the rest. That's what I believe.
How do you think the next generation of Muslims will hold its own beliefs and carry on traditions? What new changes do you foresee?
What? Of Muslims? Changes.
Yeah. Do you foresee, and how do you foresee them holding up with carrying on Islamic beliefs and carrying on traditions?
I'm not hearing the last part of that. What changes do I perceive, and
how will the young generation carry on the tradition?
Yes, thank you. I got, my hearing is not that. My daughter says I need a hearing aid. Maybe I'll take her more serious. I perceive the changes that we should make for Muslims in America. Well, we are working on it now. Changes that we should make is that we should not just see ourselves in America as Muslims in some relationship with the government of America and not with the American people. We should see ourselves as needing a good relationship with American people. We should form alliances. Our religion says form alliances, healthy alliances. So if the Muslim population in America, we should have leaders who are leading us into alliances with all good efforts of American people. There's Christians who want to get rid of a prostitute house in the neighborhood, Well, do we accept prostitution? No, we should be with them. We shouldn't let them go to battle alone as we belong to that community or to that neighborhood. We should stand with our Christian, our Christian fellow Christians, our Christian neighbors, and in anything that they're doing that's good, and they need the help of the neighborhood or the help of the citizens, we should be ready to stand with them and not look at them as Christians, but look at them as people who cherish the same good life we cherish and want the same peaceful and clean neighborhood that we want, and stand with them. So stand with your America, your fellow Americans. Stand with them in every situation that you know your religion would ask you to be in. If you could.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.B. Muhammad, call All Right. Ministry of W.B. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All Right, Ministry of Imam W.B. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.